Hi, Krishna. This is Sanadhar Swami.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. First, let me apologize for missing last week. When you're in Vrindavan, it's harder to keep track of the days because there's no distinction between the weekend and the... Wait, I'm going to make this clear. Excuse me. There's no distinction between the weekend and the regular days because, I don't know, people don't really work or whatever. Everybody's just chanting all the time. Okay. Anyway, I'm happy to be back. I'm in Govardhan, and I feel I'm kind of finally settled, be in one place for a while with studies and chanting. It will also be much more conducive for the classes than kind of traveling around. Okay, reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutra, text 76. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhakti Shastrani Mananiyani Tadbodhika Karmani Karaniyani. One should respect the revealed scriptures of devotional service and discharge the duties they prescribe. Word here is bhakti shastrani mananiyani. Respect maninena. What is it? Trinadati sunichena. Tarora pisishna. Amanina madhanena. Respect. What? Bhakti shastra. The sacred texts in bhakti. This is Narada Bhakti Sutra. This is for the people pursuing that path. And it's also the very first verse strongly recommending that path. So, purport, the most important bhakti shastras have been translated with parampara purports by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada writes, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have therefore limited our study of Vedic literature to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That's a lifetime of study. And those really are the main texts about Krishna. Gita is spoken by Krishna. The Bhagavatam is the main text about Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya, who was Krishna in the form of the devotee. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the complete text about the practice of bhakti. I mean, you can't get more comprehensive than this. These four works are sufficient. They're adequate for understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The Vedas are vast, comprising millions of Sanskrit slokas. And while the conclusions of all branches of Vedic literature is to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, some parts of the Vedic literature are addressed to materialistic religionists, and therefore teach a gradual process of elevation. So the Vedas is very, very vast. The concept of the Vedas is when the Supreme Lord manifests the universe, the image or the ontology, is that God is breathing out unlimited universes, and when he breathes in the form of Vishnu, those unlimited universes become unmanifest. And the purpose is giving the souls, living entities, the jivas, an opportunity to become purified. And purification means to come to the point of being selfless. And when you're completely selfless, completely loving, that's called a devotee. A devotee means one who loves God. It means one who loves everything. And completely realized and satisfied. To be the servant of something much greater than oneself, without any tinge of desire to be that which is greater than oneself. It's a complete stage of ultimate satisfaction. It's our aspiration. Our aspiration is complete satisfaction. But complete satisfaction means to be situated in harmony with what one is. We're made of God, we're made for God. We're made of something greater than ourselves, we're made for something greater than ourselves. And doing that, serving that, energizes us. It gives us meaning. More than that, it gives us absolute, total bliss. Because we're meant for love. And when we love, we're in total bliss. And when we love God, we're in the energy of that love. And it flows through our hearts. That's the greatest goal. That's what we should aspire for. And the Vedas teach that. Really, that's the ultimate goal. It teaches so many things, but in relationship to that. It's Vedaish Tisarveham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Vid Veda Vid Eva Chaham. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. And what is to be known? The ultimate reality. What's the ultimate reality? The ultimate reality is God. And it's God, and it's our relationship to God, because we're part of it. And what is that relation? The relation is service. The part serves the whole. How beautiful is that? We're all connected to something greater than ourselves. And by serving that which is greater than yourself, you're actually serving everything. Really. Because what's greater than yourself is everything. But we're disconnected because of a consciousness or attitude or a misidentification that we have. And therefore, we kind of cover ourselves to that which is most beneficial for ourselves. It's kind of like a rag and fire. If the rag is dipped in water, the fire will not have the same effect. So it's like that. We've disconnected ourselves by changing our consciousness and transforming ourselves into something that is antithetical to our essence. It's just like water becomes ice. It's a transformation of water. The water is still in the ice, but it does not function as water. You can't drink it, you can't wash with it, you can't cook with it. You can't water the lawn with it. So, it's there, but it's transformed. So somehow we've transformed ourselves from that connection to God to distancing ourselves. It's all consciousness. When you're dealing with that realm, it's all consciousness. It's all the will of God. And God's will follows our will. And when we want to be separate from God, we are put in the illusion that we are. And we don't feel that flow. So that's our condition. We're yearning and we're striving not to be the servant, but to be the master. And because we're striving to be the master, we're not attracted to the message, the pure message of the Shastra, which is surrender. Surrender to what? Surrender to what we are, which is a part of something greater than ourselves. And surrender to the will and dictation of that which is greater than ourselves, which moves for the benefit of everything, including ourselves. We know that. We have ego. We try to establish ourselves separately. And we resist truth. We resist the authority of truth. We struggle with that. We're aiming for something. We're wanting something. But what we want is not good for us and it's not good for others. But where we struggle with surrender to a truth that is truth, that's based on reality and based on our benefit. So we have to let go of the ego. But because we're in that consciousness, part of religion, part of the Vedas, and a great part of the Vedas, is answering to our ego in a way that somehow or other we can become free from it. We have these desires, and there's religion to fulfill those desires, but to do it in a way that we become free from those desires. But it's a gradual part. And it's initially appealing to our materialistic side. We get rewards for doing good. So the consciousness is not pure, it's selfish. But because we're following the sacred texts and the teachers who represent them, it's gradually purifying. The sages at Naimisharanya therefore asked Sutta Goswami to teach them the essence of the Vedas. It's so vast. Burini Karmani. There's so many prescriptions. See, sometimes people don't understand the Vedas or Hinduism because it's not like a religion is generally a theistic conception with some support for that theistic conception. But the Vedas, or Hinduism, if we want to say that, is a support for all theistic conceptions. It's not one theistic conception. It's supporting many, many theistic conceptions. And theistic conceptions that may be suitable for people at particular modes of nature, particular objectives. And with that theistic conception people have, there comes various practices and so it's many, 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 many different conceptions. But the goal is one conception, that you should understand God. Of course, understanding God also has many different conceptions. Due to your perspective, you're looking at the mountain from a distance, it looks like it's one. You're close, you see the people. Even in the distance, you're still looking at the mountain. So there's different perceptions of God, too. The essence selected by Sutta Goswami is Srimad Bhagavatam, which teaches Bhakti Yoga as the supreme dharma and rejects all cheating religion. Oh, it says... the sages of Naimisharanya therefore asked Sutta Goswami to teach them the essence of the Vedas. And this is historical. At the beginning of Kali Yuga, the sages of the world are meeting at Naimisharanya. Naimisharanya, if the universe is like a wheel, the center of that wheel is Naimisharanya, and a place with potency to counteract evil or sin, or opposition to spirituality. So the sages are gathered there trying to get inspiration on what to do. This is always the question. And it's the question because there's no set formula in one sense, because people are facing different situations and the people who are facing those situations are different people. So things have to be prescribed according to the person and according to the situation. So even that's true with bhakti. There are different practices. The spiritual master is considered the person who finds the ways and means to engage the disciple in absorption in Krishna. And there are different ways and there are different emphases. There are different Vaishnava lines. Even in Vaishnava lines, there's different practices that are emphasized. of course, there, you know, there's some things that are just principles. They stand for everyone. Kaler Doshe Nidhe Rajan Eko Asti Mahagunan Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam. This age of Kali is an ocean of faults. Kaler Doshe Nidhe Rajan Eko Asti Mahagunan. But there's one good quality. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya, the Kirtan of Krishna Mukta Sangam. That'll give liberation. In Kali Yuga, that's the present age, most people do not have time, energy, or interest to go through the Vedas, nor is it advisable to try. Absolutely impossible to sort through the Vedas and find a consistent message for you. Because it's dealing with so many subjects related to spirituality. The organization of society, the culture of society, all different functions to describe. And it's in the context of a particular world. So really, Acharya Purusho Veda, if you want to know the Vedas, you have to have a teacher. And what does the word Acharya, teacher, mean? It one who selects. It's just like you go to a pharmacy. It doesn't help you. You can go through all the various medicines, but which is the one for your disease? So you need the doctor to ascertain what the medicine is and the pharmacist to select the appropriate one. The Acharya does that. He negotiates between your condition and the sacred teachings. And without that, it's very, very, very difficult. To bring transcendental light into the age of darkness, Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of all the Vedas, gave the world the Srimad Bhagavatam as his mature contribution. So, Vyasadeva, the godly editor, means that the Vedas are very vast, and they have to be communicated according to a particular time and the karmic condition of people at a particular time. So the one who does that is Vyas, and it's an immense task because it takes realization. Because you have to take a message and you have to communicate it. That takes realization. Because communication entails putting the message in another word, in different words, in a different context, to people with a different frame of reference. So it's a very, very, you have to understand a subject extremely deeply to do that. And therefore it takes a godly editor. It takes a person who's completely empowered by God to do that. And the history of that was Vyas, who finally edited the Vedas in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam so that the message is relevant and clear. Those of us who have read the Bhagavatam can understand that. It's speaking to us. It quotes a verse, Anarto Pasamam Sakshat Bhakti Yogam Adoksaje Lokasya Janato Vidvam Chakre Satyatisanditam. The material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. What a beautiful concept. The material miseries are superfluous to us because they're not happening to us. They're happening to something external to us, which we identify with and therefore suffer. And it can be mitigated
by the linking process of devotional service. Because we're identifying with that which is not us, and the miseries that we suffer because of that identification, simply because we don't want to be what we are, which is a part of God and meant for His service. So when you change that attitude, the consciousness will no longer be reflected, will no longer identify and be reflected and identify with the material body. Because there's only one reason that the soul becomes one with the body, and that's not to be a devotee, but to be the enjoyer and controller. So when you give up that consciousness, I am the center, things are objects for my enjoyment, therefore I should try to control the world and move things according to my desire. When you give up that consciousness, you give up the cause of that identification. And how do you give up that consciousness of enjoying and controlling? By developing love, which is the exact opposite. And bhakti, tvasmin parama prema rup, the nature of bhakti is the topmost love for God. So you completely count, you get at the root of the false ego. I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller. By changing the self-conception to I am the servant of God and others. Massive people do not know this, and therefore learned Vyas compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. That's the purpose of the Veda, is to educate people about this. Bhakti Shastras include contemporary works written in pursuance of the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and so on. So based on those seminal texts, so many books are written. The writing of commentaries and other bhakti literature works can continue for the edification of people in every age and create a movement away from mundane and speculative books. Get a movement away from literature that reinforces the attitude and conception that reflects the consciousness on the body, and therefore causes us to suffer. Narada states that a person should not only read bhakti shastras, but live by their instruction. This is so important. I tell that story that by Puri Ashram in January, if any of you are free, you're welcome to come. The 20th to 25th is a wonderful festival. And I try to purposely keep it small. It's so sweet. So, this great Vaishnav scholar, one of the great Vaishnav scholars, Dr. Fakir Mohan, I talk about him often. Such a great scholar. And all these Sanskrit students from Vrindavan come to my fest, my yatra, and they're sitting in the front. He knows they're Sanskrit students, so he asked them, who is Shastragya? Who knows the sacred teachings, the sacred text? And then with such conviction, he just moved forward with his hands and said, one who practices. Their instructions. how to live, how to act, to deepen the meditation on God and create a life and an environment that supports that. The serious student should render service in terms of what he has heard from the spiritual master and the bhakti shastras. Srila Prabhupada writes, without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress, and without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless and therefore a sort of disturbance on the path of devotional service. Therefore, devotional service is established on the principle of Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Pancharatna. The make show of devotional service should be rejected. It's a science. It's just like a doctor who, a person who imitates being a doctor. His directions, because it's not based on solid medical knowledge, his directions are a disturbance to your body, not a help for your body. So in the same way, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi, Pancharatna, Vidhim, Vidha, Kaintakya, Hariyabhakti, Upatadhyayva Kalpate. Upatadhyayva means it's disturbance if it's not based on solid teachings. So many people are teaching, but it's not based on a tradition of knowledge. And it causes harm, basically. Now, let me just put today's verse in context. That you should respect the teachings, the shastras of the Bible, and discharge the duties they prescribe. From how you live socially to how you internally practice. So this section, Narada, it's kind of a summary. We only have like 10 more verses, and then we're finished with the Narada Bhakti Sutra. So it's been very comprehensive. And now it's going to lead to kirtan, obviously. And the different kirtan and to the fixed consciousness and the value of this divine love. That's what faith means. Faith is again, not you, I believe or I don't believe, but it's the degree to which you value something and open your heart to it. And what the Bhakti Shastris wants to communicate is that this is the most precious thing. And this is what you should really treasure. Now again, this doesn't mean renounce the world. Because the beauty of Bhakti is your attachments can be kept and used. It's a question of dedication. But that's your objective, divine love. Even using things that have been connected to your ego and your karma, you just give them to God. With the understanding that the most precious possession one can have is divine love, is prema bhakti, parama, prema bhakti. So when he begins this section, he really wants to hone in. Bhakti Shastrani Maniyani. That this is taught in sacred texts. And this is the process by which you get understanding and knowledge. One second, the electricity here has gone out. I have to put on my miner's flashlight so I can see the page. I am so happy here in Govardhan. It's just an amazing thing. I have this room. They were building like a whole kind of, almost like a suburb kind of type thing, you know, a housing thing where people buy rooms. And it's on quite a big piece of land, and it's right behind the ISKCON ashram. So, knowing that I don't have any place, my good friend Parthasarathy Goswami arranged that somehow I could use this place if I take care of it. And what's nice so far is that the builders who built it, you'll see, it'll take a little time to understand, were incredible cheaters. But so what happened is, they advertised so many facilities. They were even going to, believe it or not, they were going to build some kind of gymnasium or something, whatever the case is. It's just like, but what happened is, they did such a poor job of putting it up that people weren't buying it. And the way these things work, they don't build until people buy, and people don't buy until they build. So very little of the land is kind of used. And basically, I have this apartment on like 5 acres of land. There must be about 10 people that live on it. And right in front of me is the park they built. So in the morning when I do my worship, I go out and I pick beautiful different flowers and tulsi. But sometimes the electricity goes out. So it warrants here, don't be involved in controversy. It's advice. He starts off like this. Because there's such a tendency to argue as one of the main expressions of ego, that conception that we're striving for, which to be great, to be the controllers, to be the enjoyers, not loving conception, but egotistic conception. A lot of it's based on not wanting the truth, but wanting to win arguments, or the arguments are to support our attachments, or to get, whatever the case is. But he's saying, because it's really this, he wants to give advice now. This is not how you're going to understand the absolute truth, because the absolute truth comes, it can only come through a purity of consciousness. And any egotistical wrangling, which destroys humility, even if you're very good at it, will not lead you to the truth. and it's limited. Logical reasoning is limited because the absolute truth is personal and is responsive to love. So without love, you're not going to understand the absolute truth. Bhakti is Tesham Satatayuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi. The one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them. The knowledge by which they come to me. So he has to give it. And that knowledge of himself is only given in love. Because what is the knowledge of oneself? It's their heart. I've said this many times recently, a realization I have. To know God is to know God's heart. And no one gives, you give someone your heart, they can exploit you. Or they can love you. So you only give your heart to someone who can love you, not one who wants to exploit you. The absolute truth is meant to be served, and without the mood of service, you'll never get the absolute truth. You don't involve in controversy. And it's so toxic, because generally controversy, and we see that in the Hare Krishna movement, when people get into all kinds of controversies. Generally, the people who are involved in these controversies and hone in on these controversies and constantly speak on these controversies, generally, it's not coming from a humble and pure heart. It's not to say that one should avoid controversies to establish conclusions. If that's the mood, then one enters into it. But when that's done in a mood of service by one who's qualified, it has so much of a different flavor. Okay, I'm going to stop here for today. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
All right, well.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Nanda Dulal.
Nanda Dulal, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I saw you with Kadambakanand Maharaj, you know, singing.
What's that?
You were, you know, with Kadambakanand Maharaj in Vrindavan, you know, I don't know where, but, you know, he's singing and you were beside him.
Okay. You know, it's so interesting these days that no one has any privacy. Everywhere one goes, you know, it's everywhere. What that was that it was very nice. We have a Raghunath had a very nice tour of India with about 25 people, mostly from New York. So one or two of them stayed. So I was trying to, you know, give them a good experience. So on Friday night at the VIHE, which is in that building in the middle of that nice land, what happens is at that time is that Mother Prashant Mataji, It's great. So she has kirtan there. So we went there, and Kadamba Kana was leading the kirtan. Okay. So you saw me. Okay, how do you go?
I have a question, Maharaj.
Okay.
The question is, you know, the bhakti that Narada Muni is talking about this thing, it relates to me like, you know, like Savai Pumusha Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Adakshade Ahayita Kiya Prithyata Yatma Suprasiddhati. That our soul's eternal yearning is for love of God.
You have a question?
So, is that, you know, basically that Narada Muni is trying to explain in all the verses?
That the Paro Dharma is bhakti. Well, he establishes it from the first verse because he says, now, I forgot what the Sanskrit is, but now we're going to do bhakti. So, classically, in sutras, when someone says a ta, it means, okay, you've done so many other things, now this is important, this is urgent. Yeah. In other words, the theme is bhakti. As what? As the essential duty of the soul is to love. That is the goal. Not any other goal. It's a beautiful concept. It fits with what we feel. That the highest consciousness is when the heart's filled with love to the greatest degree. So he's promoting that as our prime duty. Yes, I would say yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Miles.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Lord of Bhaktivinoda.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Did you get my message?
Yes, Maharaj, I got today from Vrajarade.
Okay, thank you. She tells me that your teachings are increasing and that you're doing very well in that regard. That's so nice to hear.
Thank you, Maharaj. All your mercy.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's TJ.
Hey, TJ. Just thinking of you this morning. Yeah. Well, all my love to your family. How's the project going?
It's going wonderful, Maharaj. We're almost through. We're maybe 30 more days, and we should be completely finished.
4 days.
Yeah.
TJ is from Hudson, and where I live, and him and his wife, they're finishing a huge project, Bodhi Spa. So I've been following the progress. Anyway, give my love to your whole family, okay? Thank you.
Will do, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? One more person.
Hare Krishna again, Maharaj.
Hey, Grangi. I will.
I will.
Okay, I'm looking forward to the classes this week because when I'm in one place, you know, I can prepare. I'm in the right, you know, all my books are there. You know, everything's set up, and it's so much better to lecture in this way. So I'm looking forward to the Wednesdays and Tuesdays, especially during Kartik. I'm starting my Kartik for today because it's a codicil here. And
Yeah, it's so nice just to concentrate on chanting and hearing for a month. Although, I will have visitors today, tomorrow, the next day. And my niece is coming for a week in Vrindavan. I'll be in Govardhan, but I'll have to see that she... Yeah. Okay, thank you all. Vanshakopa Tarubhyascha Kapasindhu Behavichapa Pitana.